Hey, everybody. You are listening to Launch Radio with Jeff and Kira. You see, our future depends on humanity and AI living in harmony. And on this show, we are going to help you develop a better understanding of both.
Kira.
Jeffrey.
How are you?
I'm so well. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. Hello, everyone. We had our couple weeks off there, but we're back for episode 61 with a great discussion.
Yes.
How are you, Kira? What's happening?
I'm so good. A little chilly today. I put a sweater on just for you.
We had a good preview for this episode. Kira posted some Instagram stories that were terrific.
I mean, well, I wanted to go horizontal today, but well, I shouldn't say that. Someone asked me if we could do the show with me just laying in bed sleeping, but I had to tell them that you probably would not be a fan of that. So I decided to adult today, put a shirt on and show up. So here I am.
You know what? You're here. The stories were great. We, you know, there was the horizontal versus the vertical, and you decided just to put on the shirt and be here for episode 61. And it worked out great.
I mean, you know, it's our weekly jam. We got to jam it out.
We have to. We've got Johan and Michael Fontaine here. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hi, guys.
Yes, we are here, episode 61. And today, you know, it's just getting through this pandemic that's just been, you know, endless for everybody and exhausting. And, you know, now you have people starting to go back to work. And Kira and I, we were talking the other day about how, and I actually made a post on Facebook about this, how people, you know, the advantages and disadvantages of staying home versus going back to work, you know, staying home and working remotely versus going back to work and being in the office around people. And the point I made on the Facebook post was there's a lot of people that are ready to be back in an office, to see people again, to be around people, you know, and I think of that show, The Office, you know, everybody loved from, I don't know, what's it been, a decade since it was on the air? And that camaraderie, I think a lot of people we've missed that in the pandemic. And
Have we missed that?
I mean, I think it depends on the person, obviously. There's advantages to remote work, which I'll let Kira talk about. But I think that the camaraderie of an office environment, being around other people in person, can that be replaced? Okay, if you like that, if you like being around people, can that be in an office environment? Can that be replaced by remote work and seeing people through a video screen?
I mean, why can't we just hang out with people? Like, I mean, I don't know why we have to go into work to socialize. What, couldn't we just socialize after work? I mean, I get literally nothing done when I go into work. I would be pulled into so many bloody meetings that I didn't need to be part of. People would want to talk to me about their weekend and whatever the fuck. And I'm like, can I just get work done? And then by the time it's like 4:30 in the afternoon, I got nothing done. So now that, you know, I love working from home. It is like my jam. I can get so much more done without people bothering me about their weekend plans.
Yeah. Again, I think it depends on the person, because there's a lot of people that aren't necessarily, you know, social people in a weekend environment. You know, their social life is the office environment and seeing other people. And when that's taken away, I think they really miss that. And I think that there, you know, there's a loneliness problem that can be created because of that.
Maybe it's time to evolve. Like, you know,
what does that mean?
I mean, maybe it's time that we figure out how to evolve as human beings and find new ways to socially interact with people and also have a work-home-work-life balance where we can sit at home and do our work and then socialize after. Why the need to drive and sit in traffic and all of that bullshit just to go into work to socialize? Fuck. No, thank you.
But I feel like a lot of people, I mean, what's the definition of socializing? Is that going to a bar or is that going to play bingo? You know, or is that going bowling?
Jeff, what days do you go and play bingo?
I'm not a bingo advocate. I mean, I play bingo when I was in grade school, but I know
you're not a bingo advocate.
Well, no, but I know that there are some bingo goers still. I mean, you could do something like that virtually, but anyway, there's different definitions of what socializing is. And some people, literally, it isn't bingo or bar hopping or, I don't know, anything, going to picnics. It's literally being around other people in the office. And I think that that's really a lot of people to lose.
But that's coming from someone that never worked corporate for 11 and a half years.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, talk to someone that's worked in corporate for years. I guarantee you they would be like, thank God I can work from home because I can't stand having my micromanager, you know, all these people all over my ass all the time. It's like, but now, you know, people are running into the fact of you never turn off work. That's the biggest downside to remote working.
Yeah.
Is that there's never an end. You're just constantly working. And because you can go into the kitchen, eat something, get back to work, you know, there's no, you have to have your own boundaries as an employee to say, okay, it's 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or whatever, I'm done. I'm going to shut the computer off. And I have a feeling managers are probably like, oh, but you're home. You could work more, you know? That's the only downside that I see.
People can become addicted to work because they're working from home. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, there's never a start. You know, when you drive into work and then drive home, there's that like whatever that time that you're like, okay, it's time to get in the car, where there's no break like that in the remote working, unless you're like, oh, I got to go pick up the kids at school or whatever, you know. But if you don't have that, there's no end of the day. The day just. And I've always found, one, I could never get work done when I would go into the office when I worked corporate. But when I worked from home, I never shut it off. So it was like, what, is there an in-between? Mm-hmm. You know?
Maybe there is. I don't know.
I mean, the only thing I could think of would be like workspaces where you're not at home working. You drive to a workspace that you rent monthly with other people, you do your work, and then you drive back home. And then that way you have a line between work and home, and you're not blending the two. But frankly, to be honest, we've been blending work and home life since BlackBerry days. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember when we got BlackBerries years ago, and it was like, okay, well, life is over now. Your boss can call you at any time of the day. And you have to fill out proposals at 9 p.m., 10 p.m., and then you can't say that you didn't get it because you're like, you're glued to your phone all the time.
That was a big shift, right, when BlackBerry and iPhone came around, especially when BlackBerry, because of the, you had to be always available.
And I was available 24/7. I remember going on vacation to France, and a horrible client that I was having to deal with, they knew I was out of town. I had an out of office reminder on my emails, and yet they knew I still was checking my emails. So then they were sending me all these important things, knowing that I'm on vacation, you know? And I got so stressed working on my vacation that I actually had to leave Paris and come home. And like, I look back on that and how ridiculous of a, you know, decision I made to do that I would allow work to affect my personal life that much that I had to cut my vacation short. Yeah. No, like that's beyond not okay. And it's beyond not okay for people to email you when you are out of the office. Not okay. You know, there needs to be accountability on both sides of that coin.
There has to be the boundaries. Basically.
Yeah.
Okay. So what did people do, you know, just to kind of backtrack before we get to where we really think it's going with everything, what did people do? But before there was email and you left the office, it was like, okay, goodbye. See you later. I'm going to go home and have some tea. Like there was no ability. Like, what did people do? What did people do before TV? What, like, did they go to the office when they got home? People just read a book.
And they listen to the radio. enjoy their company of their family, have a meal with their children, like crazy things back in the 50s and 60s that people would do. I mean, we haven't had that, but you know, all the kids are on their iPads during dinner.
Yeah.
Or dad's off, you know, doing work in the library, you know, whatever. No one's actually sitting down and talking because everyone's so disconnected yet connected all at the same time. They're disconnected from each other and connected to their screens.
So wait a second. Yeah. So when there was no television, people just at night would go home and they'd tell stories and stuff and throw a baseball in the yard and that.
So. Yeah, and that.
Like that type of stuff. That's so interesting how different it is now.
Well, they had radio programs that everyone would like, oh, hurry up, it's time for whatever show on the radio. And they sit and hunker down and listen to the radio, like their mysteries or whatever the hell. Yeah, you know, things have changed. It's and you know, we evolved then. We can evolve again. We had to evolve from... Now we have phones and now we have to work 24/7 or not. And now I think we can evolve again and make remote work optional. Okay. You know, I don't think it should be a mandatory thing for people to have to drive in. And if, especially if your drive is like an hour and a half, like that's ridiculous. You know, like my drive to Google was an hour and a half.
Well, yeah, I think that inevitably there will be the work from home go into work choice, you know, but I think that the choice is pretty important. Like companies going full remote post pandemic, like we're assuming once COVID is gone. So we're talking in that frame here. I think that at least for a while needs to be an option of people to have in the office, because I don't think it's not the same through a screen as it is in person. Is it?
Of course not. I mean, it's not, no, but you know, I mean, we've said that about many technologies and many advances in our society, where it's like, oh, it's not going to be this. Who would ever shop online? Well, Amazon's going to fail this weird internet. Yeah. And now that's all we know. You know what I mean? I think it's just we're having to do things that might be slightly uncomfortable as the world evolves and we're just getting used to the changing times. And it just so happens that the pandemic pushed forward even more the idea of remote work. And what will that mean to social behavior amongst human beings is yet to be determined. But, you know, I think we're all very adaptable. You know, I mean, that's what makes us a great species, and that we can, you know, you got to adapt or you grow or die, you know?
So it's like, you think it's the novelty of it is what you're saying. It's the novelty.
I mean, I've been working from home. I have always fought to be able to have remote work as long as I was in corporate world. I worked like 3 days out of the week from home, and I would get managers that would bitch all the time. But I'm like, I'm getting more work done in 20 minutes than you're getting done in 9 hours because of everyone coming into your office and chat. How's the kids? How's baseball? And I'm like, when I work from home, I don't have to deal with any of that. I get all my work done in a very small amount of time, you know, and that part they never understood, though, you know, they didn't really question it after I'm making them tens of millions of dollars, you know, in sales or whatever. So, you know, it's all about, are you, and a lot of people, to your point, there are people that can't work from home, like just They
need that office environment, right?
Yeah, they need the structure. And without the structure, they're just like all over the place.
Right.
And then there's people like me that are like, I could sit in front of a computer for 12 hours and not move and do work and just like knock it out. But I think you're right. I think it comes down to personality. But I will say I don't feel any company should force employees to go into work. I think that's very archaic and like old school. It's time to advance civilization, for God's sake.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But I think that when we say evolve, there's a lot of people that wouldn't like that necessarily, because some people wouldn't necessarily want to quote evolve. You know, they if they're comfortable, you know, seeing people in the office, they, you know, they're it makes them uncomfortable having to change the social environment of what they're used to being around people in person. So I feel like that it really catches a lot of people off guard because they're used to that. But I think that to get back to the point of this, you know, so we had people didn't initially have television to go home to. They didn't have, you know, stuff online and phones and email and all that. It was just people and in person in the office and at home. And then TV came around and you got people got distracted with that. And then, you know, you had radio, then you had TV. And then eventually there became internet and email. And then the office was able to kind of be in touch with people whenever they wanted. And I think that now with remote becoming potentially bigger, as you were saying, that's the next jump, you know, like from BlackBerry to stuff being at home. But I don't know in the evolving and the evolution of things if people are ever going to be fully comfortable going full digital within the screen. I'm saying that I don't know if we can ever get there, but perhaps we can because everything else, you know, TV seemed crazy, internet seemed crazy, you know, now being on the screen seems crazy. Will that ever fully replace the value of like in person that you have in the office? Will the screen ever fully replace that? Can it ever replace that?
I think probably not in the near future. It's like saying, could the internet fully replace retail shopping? Yeah. I mean, we've kind of seen that, right? Because malls are like, who goes to the fucking mall? Right? So you're seeing all these mall closures, and that would have been, you know, look at newspapers. I mean, they're bleeding money at newspapers because who the hell reads a newspaper? Who buys a subscription for a newspaper? I don't think, is it going to happen tomorrow where screens will take over in-person social constructs? No. Will it maybe take a big chunk of it over the course of the next 3 to 5 years? Yeah. Yeah.
You know? I think a lot of people are going to struggle with that. It's a bigger thing than email or internet and stuff. I feel like having to deal with not in person is going to be not easy for a lot of people.
It's not going to be easy for the older generations because they don't like to change. But if we're talking millennials and down, you know, there's studies where kids, there's like a significant drop, for example, in getting driver's license. Mm-hmm. Like kids don't want to get their car a driver's license. Why? We would have to meet our friends at the mall. Right. And it's like mom has to drive us to the mall. But oh, my God, thank God I have my driver's license. Now my mom doesn't have to drive me. You don't need to meet your friends at the mall anymore. You can just talk to them, you know, through a plethora of platforms. Right. So we're already seeing social constructs starting to shift, and work is just going to be another addition to that change. And yeah, the older generations hate change. You know, they get stuck in what they enjoy. And thank God those people retire and we can all work, you know, from home now.
Yeah. You think it's easier. What you're saying is you think it's easier for the younger generations to adapt to work life on screen in the computer.
Because they grew up with it. You know what I mean? Look at Gen Z. They've never known life without the internet, you know? Mm-hmm. So they're, to them, it's normal. You know, it's not like a big deal.
They can get as much value in the digital, like seeing someone on a screen, as they can in person. Like, yeah. No problem.
I mean, it's not the same. I have a niece, like, for example, I have a niece that's 10. Okay. Yeah. And she doesn't really do sleepovers or anything like girls would do mm-hmm. at that age. And she's just inside a lot on her phone, talking to friends that live 2 miles down the road.
And she's and just like all day long on her phone.
And that's how that generation is. They're just on their phone and they're playing games with one another. And it's like, why don't you just do this in person? But they grew up with a screen in front of their face. So that's how they interact with the world, is through a screen.
Boomer generation and Gen X, they like make fun of, you know, millennials and Gen Z being on their phones so much and doing so much social media and doing so much stuff in the digital world. Like they like. They literally, like, a lot of them, it's completely foreign. Like, literally, they mock, like, oh, these young kids always on their phones, like, get out and live a little bit, you know? Which I understand. Like, that's the argument for being back in the office. Like, I completely understand that. But there does seem to be somewhat of a war happening within the digital life versus, you know, going back into the office. I think it will happen gradually. Whether it happens fully one day, I don't know. I have my doubts because, like, it's a big change not having in person. And it's going to be, there's going to be a massive psychology loneliness crisis if that were to happen, especially abruptly.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, we already have crisis loneliness problem.
Yeah.
That's been in the making for years. You
know? This is going to magnetize it even more.
It doesn't need to, though. We're in charge of that. It's not like our brain operates independent from us. I mean, we do have control over those feelings. And if we're feeling lonely, we can make a decision to then go outside and meet with someone or whatever. The only reason why there's an epidemic of loneliness and depression is because we allow ourselves to do it, not because it's so easy to blame. Like, you remember back in the 90s when video games were constantly blamed for all the school shootings going on? Mm-hmm. Marilyn Manson was blamed for, you know, the Colorado shooting, the school shooting. I mean, everybody is blamed, you know, all the social stuff.
Yeah.
And all the platforms are blamed for the decrease of society. And it's like, no, you're a human being with your own independent thoughts and your own brain. You can decide if you want to partake in certain things. And if something makes you sad, you can choose not to be on that thing anymore. But we just get brainwashed into having to use this shit. And it's ridiculous.
But what if people don't want to go out of the place to go meet someone? Like, what if they don't want to do that? What if they're like really introverted and their life was going into office? They don't want to go to bars or do any of that. That feels like scary and they don't want to do that. What about those people?
I mean, I don't know too many introverts that like to go into the office, but won't go out then to a bar. You either, like, I'm an introvert. I hated going to the office. I hated having to talk to my coworkers. Yeah. I mean, they're lovely people. I just didn't want to talk about their kids and whatever the fuck they did over the weekend. I don't care, you know?
Did anybody in this chat, we have like some people in here, if anybody like going into the office and would they miss that? If you worked in an office pre-pandemic, did you like going into the office and would you miss that? Like, let's see if anybody would miss that, what their responses are. We have, Penelope said, you know, some of us do, but also driving kids to dance, sports, and everything else their families need. Plus, we have the sandwich generation to take care of kids and aging parents. Example, I have two kids that are scouts and involved, but also have had an ill parent, but also ailing grandparents who required my evening attentions. So I guess right. She's saying that these other activities she had anyway. I think that's the point she's making, because it was a past thing we were commenting on. You know, Lee Miller says, as people are used to working from home now, I think people will work some days at home and some in the office. I think so. I think some people will. I think it'll be a balance of both.
What is it? Is it Twitter? It was Twitter and Oracle, I believe, who are the two that made remote work, even after the pandemic, optional.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of companies that are getting rid of their office spaces because, I mean, look at Manhattan. Have you seen the pictures of Manhattan?
Well, that's a great point. I mean, buildings anymore.
All that office space? Omy God. I mean, there's articles, I forgot, I think it might have been in the New York Times, of how much Manhattan's changed to where nobody goes into the office. And now all those skyrocketing office rents don't even exist anymore. They're pleading for companies to come back, you know? So it's very interesting. I mean, we were already going down this trajectory, you know, into this remote work, but the pandemic completely sped that up by like 10 years. And now it's like everything that we have had to go through over the year really shifts people's lives. To Penelope's point, you know, people are taking care of aging parents or parents that are still sick with COVID or have health problems because of COVID. And now you're going to force these people to go back into work? Like, no. These companies cannot make it mandatory for people to come back in, or they're going to lose their workforce. Because I'd say the vast majority of companies have realized that if you require people to come in, you will lose employees. And they'll just go to another company that will allow them the flexibility.
Yeah, and I think that's very true. I really do think, though, you bring up a good point about the office space of all these buildings. If you don't have the offices as much anymore, what could inevitably become of cities and of, you know, office structures? we're going to have so much more land space. You know, there's just going to be more space. And not just that, but if autonomous cars come around eventually and self-driving cars, I talk about this all the time. Think how that's going to change things, because you're not going to need parking garages anymore. Like,
right.
So you're going to have buildings and garages in the next, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 years. How long is all that going to take? The whole world could be restructured as far as you don't need all the garage space if you have autonomous cars. So these stacked parking garages, we're just going to have empty lots in cities that you don't need anymore. And office space too.
And how horrible would it be if we were to implode those parking garages and turn it into a park? Maybe get some like trees, you know, in these cities. We could actually revolutionize cities back into more of a urban oasis, you know, and not have it so building after building after building of office space. I mean, my God, can you imagine how transformative it would be for LA to have to implode some of these buildings that nobody's using and build parks with trees and shade? I mean,
I think that's where it's going. I think that's the direction.
And that's statistically speaking from studies, a lot of people are moving to podunk cities, mm-hmm. like, you know, in the middle of nowhere, because they are able to work from home and their money goes farther. They get land and they don't want to live in the city anymore. They don't have to. No, they work from home. Why would they want to? You know, there's the people that want to live in the high rises and like the lofts, which is totally cool. But I'd say the vast majority of people are moving out of the cities now and just living, you know, where they can afford an amazing house with land. Who wouldn't want that?
So that's going to accelerate. I mean, these younger generations are going to accelerate being remote, therefore less use of cities, therefore more people, what is it called? Like sprawl, like getting out of the cities because they don't need them anymore. The younger generations don't need them. They do everything remote. So that could change where cities are, buildings coming down, not needing parking garages anymore. That could all change with autonomous cars eventually coming, office space not needed. And I've talked about the idea of, I mean, even startup cities where you can literally start a new city somewhere and test things out, you know?
I mean, they have mini tent cities where the homeless population will have like their own municipal kind of community where they vote on things, like they're creating their own tent cities.
Really? Where at?
Oh, San Francisco, definitely in the West Coast. Oregon, Portland.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
You know, they have, because they're being pushed out of the city and they have nowhere to go. So then they all come together and create their own tent cities where, you know, they can survive, because the West is so expensive that these mini cities are actually coming up, which, to be honest, and to your point, is like the cities need to get on top of this. This isn't like, oh, maybe 5 years from now, we're going to see a steady decline of city dwellers. This is like happening now. And this has happened, goes through ebbs and flows, right? So like, if you look at like a city like Pittsburgh, during the steel industry days there, everybody was living in the city. And you had these amazingly enormous homes and the Carnegies and the Mellons and all that kind of money, right? Those areas in Pittsburgh then, when the steel mill industry went, so did the jobs. And then everyone kind of vacated the city and went to the suburbs. And all those beautiful homes and areas in the city went to shit. And they became like drug-filled, crime-ridden areas and pockets of the city. Yeah. And you could take this example, and Detroit, I mean, all of them have gone through this, right? And then it just so happens that Pittsburgh was really, really fucking smart that in 2008, when the housing crisis was happening, all the cities were dying literally and hemorrhaging money, Pittsburgh immediately shifted into a biotech premier city for all of these industries. And now it's like the coolest city to live in, apparently. I haven't been back in a while, but it's always in the top 10 places to live. It has all this like very cool urban, they shifted quickly. And that's what these cities are going to have to do, because if they don't get on the train of this kind of change, they're going to look like what Detroit looks like right now. Mm-hmm. You know, so they've got to have some kind of reason for people to stay in the cities. And if not, people will leave, you know?
People are gonna leave. And your point is that's happening now, especially yeah. accelerated with the pandemic. And it's changing.
I mean, look at Detroit. Yeah. You know, Detroit has never been able to, not yet, you know, with the collapse of so many different industries there. I mean, they haven't been able to find their next move, right, in their own city life. And they're trying, there's pockets. But then you look at the sister city being Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh was able to transform very quickly. And they're now, you know, Google has a massive office there. Uber's headquarters is there. I mean, lots of prominent things are in Pittsburgh, you know? So I think it's from a city planning perspective, I hope that these cities are paying attention to what's happening right now yeah. in terms of how people want to live their life and have a work-life balance. And if they don't get on board with the development of the cities, they will look like what Detroit looks like right now, for
yeah.
sure.
It's fascinating. Yeah, Penelope says, Kira stole my example. As a Pittsburgh worker in suburban liver, she's exactly right. Penelope agrees with you. No, and she says, Penelope says, urban oasis. I love it. Gardening space that can feed and help wastewater process our ridiculous output. Yeah, I mean, that's all coming. And then Lee Miller says, if office buildings and parking garages are removed and turned to parks with trees, it would certainly change cities into a sort of green city. Yeah, you know those yeah. photos you see of like green? It is going in that direction, I think.
Yeah. And thank God, green. My God, can we make cities? I mean, no offense to LA. I lived there for 15 years, but holy hell. Mm-hmm. Needs a little bit of a facelift when it comes to a nice oasis of nice parks. And
it does. Hollywood's a dump. I live in Hollywood and it's terrible. It's so bad out there.
You know, your parks are full of homeless tents. And then you're like, well, I can't go to the park today because I'm afraid I might get shot. I mean,
Hollywood is just a mess. I mean, the buildings are old and it's just,
I know.
It's just everything is a wreck. And you know, I really do think, I agree with you. I think it's going in that direction, but I really think the startup cities too will be interesting. And like what we talked about, you mentioned like Portland, I know there's Seattle, but just it not only serves for green purposes and people remote more, which some people like and some don't being remote, but it also allows a startup city allows people to test different policies that they wouldn't necessarily be able to test in a current already built city that people are already living in. Like you literally could have residents that want to live in a startup city just so they can test different things as far as just, you know, management of cities, as far as, you know, law enforcement, you know, and everything, just how that home is managed with solar and green and just smaller homes. I think that homes are built, the way homes are built is just really old fashioned. We really need to look at how homes could be built in a different way to fit the human. Homes are built not necessarily to fit the comfort of living. A lot of it's just like old structure where things needed to be. Like, I really think that we can look at homes, but the startup city allows people to do that with a fresh slate, I guess you could say. So I think that's important.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of people. I mean, there's been a lot of reports of people moving to like Memphis or Nashville mm-hmm. or, you know, like flooding these cities and even smaller cities. The number one city in the U.S. that has the highest percentage of growth of people, guess where that is? Pick a wild guess. It's
Texas? Like somewhere in Texas?
No. It's up by like 2,500% of people. Like it's ridiculous. I've been there once and the place is amazing.
Where is
and
it?
It's super tiny. It's in the middle of nowhere. Bozeman, Montana.
Is anybody from Bozeman, Montana? Because it's the future.
It is where everyone's moving to. That's where everyone from California is apparently buying. You can't find houses. It's right in Yellowstone. So you've got nature there. And it's a super rad, down, cute little podunk town. And they've got all these like hipster bars and stuff. And people wow. are flooding those types of little pocket cities. And to your point, they can transform the city however they want. Because the influx of cash from these people that have been, you know, that are wealthy are going to all of these tiny cities and making them into whatever they want it to be, wow. you know, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm looking at Bozeman in southwestern Montana. Yeah, yeah. And near Billings there and near Wyoming. That's fascinating. So it's going to be interesting. I know it's hard for people missing in-person work life. I think that will go on for a while. I definitely have empathy and understanding for that because I like the in-person as well. I like remote, but in-person, I see the value of that. Well, Derek Coleman says his company is saying that the productivity is higher at home. We have been home for over a year. I think it's more cost-effective to keep us home. There are a couple others. Michael Fontaine likes to socialize. You'd rather have a barbecue and invite people over. And then, let's see, Penelope said, my example was meant to demonstrate the balance you have to find, whether remote or not, but I am still very much an advocate of remote work. Too many times I spent an evening bus ride home from work crying because I knew my kids needed me, but I had no other allies or reinforcements to help me balance this, and remote work alleviates some of this guilt that working parents may have, especially mothers.
That's a really good perspective, especially since you and I don't have children. So it's hard to know what it's like, you know, for those that have children and how you manage, you know, there's only so many hours in a day and I give people who have children the utmost respect because somehow they're able to manage their day and their hours and still be good parents and pick them up and take them to all that, you know, I more than give respect to people that have children because I can only imagine trying to finagle the time aspect of it and still keep your sanity, you know.
And that's one of the perks. Okay, so for some people, the remote work, as in Penelope's example, it's better in that way, you know, and definitely I think that's a good thing. There's other people, some there's people that want to get away from their kids and husband or wife. And want to get out of the house and get away. Like, that's something we forgot to bring up. There's literally people that want to get out of the house to not think about it. Not that they don't love their kids and husband or wife, but that they need to, like, get away and get to the office and talk fantasy football with their friend or talk whatever. There's some people that want to get away. So, you know, different strokes, you know, for different people, I think. Yeah, Penelope says, true story. You know, there's a lot of people that are going insane being around their kids constantly. Not that they don't love their kids dearly, but their kids are making them literally insane.
I can only imagine.
So I can understand how the remote work with families could be good or bad depending on the perspective, the family, and it could be good or bad on the single person living alone because some people like doing remote and some like being around people, and going to the office is their only way to be around people because they don't like bars. So it's literally different in each situation, for each different family, person, single, solo living person. You know, there was a day when we did these in person about a year ago, and then the pandemic hit, and we have gone remote. We have gone remote.
And you were concerned, because you're like,
yeah.
But you were concerned when I was moving, not because you would miss me, but because you were like, what about the show, Kira?
I was like, Kira, what are we going to do?
Like, hi, are you going to miss me as a human being?
Kira, of course I miss you. Like that, I mean, it was unbelievable. The in-person magic. But
that's, you know, I mean, that's why I consider myself a digital nomad. I don't own a home. You know, I did own homes in California, but I like the fact that I can pick up and move if I feel like, all right, I'm done with Atlanta, you know?
Yeah.
Go back to LA or go back wherever I can go anywhere, which is really nice. And I think the remote work allows people to do that. Yeah, that flexibility.
Really does. It reminds me of those, last thing, there's like those smaller homes now. You can literally have like a little home built anywhere that are cheap and they're like the price of a car. And you can just live. Right. It's amazing. The price of living is going to go way down. I think that in the startup cities, just like people are going to be able to live much cheaper too, I think in the future.
Well, and I think people are really liking these smaller towns. One, a lot of these towns are giving you money to come. Mm-hmm. I know there's towns in West Virginia that are currently giving people like 10 grand if you move there, you know, and that's what these startup cities, they want your money and they want you to come and now build them up. They want the hipsters to come and build their city into the cool city.
That's what's coming.
That generation, which is our generation, are like, we watched our parents blood, sweat, and tears and become workaholics. And our parents are now getting older and may not have, you know, may have lost their shirt during the economic crisis. And now we sit back and are like, I don't want to work my entire life. That looks terrible. They never had a work-life balance, you know? And I think our generation looks at that and is like, oh, I'm not doing that. And that is why the old generations don't like the millennials, because the millennials have decided that we are not going to work to ourselves to death because we are watched our parents do it.
Right.
And that is why the older generations are like, oh, you're lazy. And you know, it's like, no, I just don't want to have a heart attack when I'm 40. Thank you. You know what I mean? Like, we just value the balance way more than previous generations did. Work ethic and working till you're, you know, 6 feet under was always like the pinnacle of being a human being in the United States. But, you know, millennials saw that and was like, no, thank you.
Well, it brings up another thing about retirement. Like, their thing was work so you can retire. Millennials are just like, a lot of millennials, not all, but are just like, work's just a part of my, like, what's this retirement thing? Like, what am I going to do when I retire? Like, I'm already retired. Work is my retirement. Like, I literally, like, the work is retired for me. Like, retiring, I wouldn't have anything to do. So I'm like, that's how a lot of millennials view it. And older generations are like, well, no, you go to the golf course and you go fishing and stuff. And millennials are like, they do that now, you know? Or, like, it is their life. Like, the work is their life, but they enjoy it. Like, it's part of who they are. So I think there's a thing happening with retirement, too. And Derek Coleman had a question. He said, how do you think vaccinations will affect the return to office settings? Will the new era of remote work be the new norm?
It depends on if companies get a little jammy about their vaccination cards. Like, if companies require employees to get vaccinations in order to come back into the office, I actually don't know if legally they can do that. I think that's an infringement on personal, it would be like personal religious beliefs type of thing that you can't step on. Though I wouldn't put it past some companies to be, you know, they don't look at equal opportunity, right? As a woman, we were always told that in college, I remember this distinctly from professors who were like, when you go for an interview, you take your ring off. Like, if you're engaged, you take your ring off because the employer will not hire you if you're engaged, knowing that you're going to be married and then soon have kids. So is that equal opportunity? No. Can you sue them for it? How do you prove it? No. You know, so I think vaccination wise, I mean, they're probably not legally allowed to force you to get it, though they'll make your life a living hell if you don't. Now, that's up to whether or not the companies are going to do that. I'd be really shocked if there was a company that required employees to get a vaccination card. I mean, to be honest.
Restaurants and such require vaccination cards? All businesses? Retail stores? Are they going to require vaccination? I know sports events are already, you know, the Dodgers are requiring, or they're going to have like a vaccinated section for people.
No.
Yeah, this weekend. They're starting Saturday. They're going to have vaccinated fans only in this section.
Talk about just in case we need more discrimination, just in case the U.S. needs more reason to split people into buckets.
Yeah, but there needs to be vaccination is for people's safety, right?
Yeah, but Jeff, there are, I mean, do you know how many people are going to frown upon and point the finger down on people that don't have vaccinations?
And yeah. It's going to happen a lot.
It could be that they can't get them because of health reasons. They might not get them because of religious beliefs. They might not get them because they don't trust the vaccine. I mean, leave it to the U.S. I swear to God. And I know that we're like over time, but I swear the minute we make a step towards unity and equality, we take 9 steps back and create little sections for vaccinated people. Like, when will we learn to stop discriminating against people in this country? Really?
Yeah. I mean, really. Yeah, Kira and I have different. I got vaccinated. I've had the vaccination. I'm 2 weeks past it. I believe, unless you have a religious belief or a medical, you know, I don't think that people should be after those people who, for whatever reason, can't get it. But I think that it's in people's best interest to get it.
Yeah, nobody should discriminate someone based on their skin color, but we do that anyways.
Yeah. Well, I think that we encourage vaccination for public health, right?
It's a you good could thing. Say that about lots of things.
Kira and I don't agree on vaccination.
I am not an anti-vaxxer. Okay. I'm just not running to get my vaccination right now. I will get it in due time. I'm just not in like a mad rush to stand in line with 2,000 people to get it right now. I think I will let everyone else kind of get their vaccinations, and then I will get it when I need it.
I think that's fair.
Like, you know, and the last time I got a flu shot, I got violently ill, and I'm like, I don't want to get a vaccination right now because I have a feeling just knowing the effects. One, the effects are worse for women. That's one of the COVID vaccine. And two, knowing that I had a bad reaction with the flu vaccine last time, I'm like, yeah, do I feel like I want to sit at home for 2 days or 3 days and feel like death because I got a vaccine? I mean, not right now. I will get it, but not right now.
Like, there you go. Yeah. I mean, that's everybody has their, you know, what they're planning to do. And we all have a right to choice.
For the Dodgers, I know, but for the Dodgers to be like, you get to sit over here because you're not part of the cool kid club of the vaccination group. Like, I'm sorry, if that is not the epitome of America, I don't know what is. Like, we are so good at doing that here. We love doing that. Love it. Mm-hmm. That's our jam as Americans.
Just in general about everything.
Oh God, it's so frustrating.
So yeah, you know, to answer the question, you know, I think that it will to some degree affect office settings. For better or worse, I think it will. The people, anyway, it's everything we just said, you know. I think that people have the right to a choice of what they want to do, but I do encourage it if people ask me, because public health. Like, I got it. I got the Moderna, both shots. Had some side effects on the second shot. First shot, very mild. Second shot, pretty extreme side effects. Or definitely moderate at points extreme, but they were gone in 12 to 16 hours. It was flu symptoms, fatigue, and you know, body pains, but I just was in bed for 12 to 16 hours and then it went away. And now they're talk of booster shots and stuff. But anyway, that's getting off topic. And that's what we think about that. Penelope says, I certainly hope so. We need these small town and small businesses to flourish. We agree. Yeah. Penelope, looks like small towns are the future, says Lee. And then, yes, Penelope, that's a whole other episode. We talked about vaccines a few episodes back. But yes, that was a whole other episode.
I mean, we can definitely talk more about vaccines.
Yeah. That's an extended topic. There is one, if you look back, though, we did it, I don't know, maybe 4 or 6 weeks ago. But Kira, this was great. Remote work, episode 61. I do miss the in-person. Of course I miss the in-person. I think maybe Kira does too. I don't know, but that's her opinion on it. We certainly always had fun doing that, but remote's cool too. We're having fun anyway, Atlanta to Los Angeles. So here at Jeff and Kira Live, we're the future, and the future is Jeff and Kira Live. Kira, do you have any final thoughts on everything?
I miss you too, Jeff. thank you everyone for joining.
Wonderful to hear. Thank you all. We're both on social media. Check out Kira's Instagram. What is your Instagram exact? What do you call it? Like your name on it? K for Kira? K underscore?
It is K for Kira. Yep. K and then F-O-R and then Kira. It's very easy. K for, yeah.
Yeah. And my Instagram's Jeffrey Pilkington and my Twitter's Jeff Pilkington. So check us out on social media. We'll be back next week with more for episode 62. Thank you, everybody. Kira, this was fun. See you.
Later.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Launch Radio. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Go ahead, smash that share button, and leave a comment below. Also, please be sure to subscribe to Launch Radio on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Until next episode, thanks again.